Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, director of the new Gilda Radner documentary, Love Gilda, Lisa Dopolito, with Gina Grant on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of blah, blah, blah. And now, last weekend, he was actually a professional driver on a closed course, so he could attempt. Take that, commercials. Corolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. That's what we count on. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Monocoque.
Monocoque.
Just the one.
Unicoque.
I want to thank Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam for this half of the show. And Hymns, go to forhymns.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge, you can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Castrol Challenge. And LifeLock as well. Enter the code Adam. Gina Grad took a spill. We got to talk about her injury and how it was achieved.
It's really starting to look like the Island of Misfit Toys around here. Matt's exoskeleton. So
who's next?
Matt's got his Gronk elbow brace on. I woke up this morning, and I had a thought, and the thought was, thank Christ, I don't have to hear this song anymore. And that song was a Limp Bizkit song that Brian has.
You don't want to hear this over and over?
I just thought, like, thank God this retarded era of music has passed us by. And again, I hesitate to call it music because it's not really music done by non-musicians who are all attitude and zero music ability. And a pox on the dumb people who support it, who buy into it, who make it into something that we know about when we should never know about it. I don't blame the artists for doing it.
There will always be the Limp Bizkits of the world. They'll be floating around.
But who's encouraging it?
If you'd like to sit at home in your basement in New Hampshire and make horrible paintings...
Oh, Brian.
Oh, Matt. Are you too young for this?
When does the song kick in?
I didn't even know there was this much before the did it all for the nookie part. So again, if you want to sit at home in New Hampshire and make horrible paintings in your basement, that's fine. I don't want to see them hanging at every subway terminal and on every billboard and wherever I travel. I don't want to hop into a car and see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thank God all the dumb people either died in some sort of Darwinian way, where they're like, let's see how many beer bongs I can do and if I can swim back and forth underwater in this Olympic-style-sized pool, and they just choked themselves out. Or they got old enough and kind of grew out of being dumb.
Testosterone.
Or got claimed by OxyContin.
But you guys should know how how insanely painful it is for people with taste and brain cells to have to listen to shit that's foisted on us.
Ugh. You and I have been known to butt heads over music from time to time, but we could not be more in lockstep agreement on Limp Bizkit. And that whole era, the early 2000s, like 99, 2002.
Like Alien Ant Farm.
It defined, that's when I was screening calls at K-Rock, the station that hoisted. We would not know Limp Bizkit if it was not for K-Rock.
We should blame K-Rock.
We should absolutely blame K-Rock. And that whole era of music, that terrible Alien Ant Farm era.
Not ICP, Brian.
No, ICP, so they got their own thing, but like there's a whole, Incubus is a terrible example. All those terrible bands that defined an era. All I remember is just walking up and down the hallways of K-Rock, bringing timesheets to people. Here's Bean's timesheet. Here's Kevin's timesheet. Here's everyone's timesheet. And just hearing this. Just through the halls. And then idiots calling, I want to hear more of that biscuit.
Did you
I love
know,
this song.
Now, Brian, be honest. Did you know it was bad at the time, or this is just retrospect?
I absolutely hated it. I was a big Oasis fan at the time.
You can't win them all.
What is it? Antithesis of what I was into.
Well, it's antithesis of music, because it's not really music. It's made for super angry 14-year-old boys who are basically struggling with their sexuality. And that's fine. I'm saying do it quietly and do it at home.
Lincoln Park.
Don't
expose
me to it. Yeah. It drove me insane, too. And then, of course...
Stained. All those terrible bands.
There's so many... Here's the other problem.
They'll be in tomorrow.
Here's the biggest problem. There's a version of that that goes on all day, every day. Then there's the 40-year-old who thinks like you think, but they have to pretend to like it because no one wants to get called old and out of it, right? The worst thing you can be at a radio station that plays this music is the guy who goes, this stuff sucks because now you're old and out of
it. It's number one on the chart. I was like, oh, well, then it must be good.
Yeah, maybe the Wave would be a better fit for you.
It's backed. I'm trying to think.
I liked music that was contemporary. You know, like Oasis had a new album. I was totally into it, but like I was out of step. You know, with what was cool.
I'm just saying, there's a comedy version of this. There's a musical version of this. There's a political version of this. Nobody wants to be called old, uptight, and out of it because they don't say, "Oh, I guess we have different musical tastes." They just basically call you old and out of it if you're not. If you're not into this, but you shouldn't be into it because it's not music. So if you're into music, then you shouldn't be into it.
Remember their terrible cover of the Who's Behind Blue Eyes?
Why was this
a beautiful song and this was a hit? This was a hit.
This is Limp Bizkit?
Doing the Who. But wait for the lyrics.
Quiet, Fred Durst is going
to
sing.
The vocals to kick in.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
A lot more echo.
To be the sad man behind blue eyes.
How could you take such a simple, beautiful song and fuck it up?
Well, it's also just flat out cheating to just really try to do a karaoke representation. Look, if you want to do, here's my rule. It's all bullshit. All the sampling is bullshit. All the rip-off songs or all the recreations are bullshit, done just like it. Here are your angles. If you want to take an R&B, Sam Cooke, another Saturday Night, and Ain't Got Nobody, and then you want to go Cat Stevens and go weird kind of calypso on it, knock yourself out. Now we have two versions of a great song. If you can't sing and you can't play a fucking instrument and there's just a great Who song and you want to get in and use a bunch of potentiometers and filters and computers to try to pull it off, now we just have a lesser version. Now you basically just put your non-talented stink on a talented band's creation.
Your hooba stink.
Well done.
Yes.
Hey, let's not forget the song. I believe the first song to put them on the map was a cover. And it was that sort of weird version.
I absolutely think this is an abomination. You cannot get famous off of a cover. That can't be the thing that launches you. Nice. No.
Yeah, tell that to the smooth criminal asshole.
No, I can't have this right now. My foot's in a lot of pain now. My ears
It's the opposite of talent. Whatever that is. Whatever talent is, this is not.
Poor George Michael.
What are that chorus hits?
No.
He's got to shred the chorus. Bring it home.
I just woke up in the morning and I just thought, thank God all the dumb people have either gotten too old and too fat or died or something, so I don't have to be exposed to this shit constantly and work in a fucking building where intelligent people with college degrees have to pretend to like it.
I'm showing you that door. Rock got it out.
As though George Michael didn't have enough problems.
I was like, if people want to hear this at 6:23 in the morning.
This is such an insult.
All right.
Enough.
Enough. It's horrible. It's horrible. Anyway, that was my thought.
I can't believe you didn't reach for that knife.
I was going to stab myself. Open myself up.
He stabbed the computer.
It's weird how the brain works. I just thought, I woke up in the morning and I thought, thank God I don't have to hear fucking Limp Bizkit songs.
You didn't hear that song. You just thought of it.
I did not hear the song. That was what triggered it. Yeah. Was like, hey.
Hey,
it's been awful quiet.
I haven't heard Limp Bizkit in almost a year. This is an awesome life. Like maybe, like you know, in a war,
this is an awesome life.
You know, in a war when you don't hear bombs go off, yep. And yeah. It's been like a couple days. Yeah. You haven't heard any explosions in the distance.
The silence is deafening,
and you're like, maybe there's a ceasefire.
Yeah,
maybe there's an end to this war.
The war's over.
That was my thought. Like I just woke up. I think I was trying to be positive. I just woke up and I just went, I haven't heard Limp Bizkit songs in a long time, and I went.
Good thing.
Good. Yeah. And then I was worried about jinxing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say it out loud.
Like playing it on your show for 5 minutes.
No, it's like talking to a pitcher in the middle of a no-hitter.
Right. You don't do it. I hopped over the line, went right back to the dugout.
Didn't look into the eye.
That's right. So, good. And a pox on all of you who thought that was music or supported it or something. And again, if you're angry at your stepdad who molested you and you want to struggle with your sexuality, by all means, cut on yourself. But let's not
keep it internal.
Yeah. Turn on yourself. Get that razor out. Work that inner thigh.
Ooh.
But let's not get into music that annoys healthy people who like good music.
Anti-love line.
And then is forced to listen to it.
Now, you talk about being intellectually honest. Now, if I have to be intellectually honest, I have to say that I do have one Limp Bizkit song that I do like. You guys remember this song? Break Stuff?
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up.
Song's pretty sweet.
Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify.
I can't tell if you're kidding.
Someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract.
This is like a lunchtime stripper song.
It's just one of those days. It's all about the heat.
Okay.
He said, she said bullshit. These guys had their finger on the pulse of society long before this Kavanaugh hearing. All right. I'm done inflicting wounds on myself. I will say that, let's see, what else do I have there? I had a funny conversation with the guy who... When I was talking to you guys yesterday about being at the racetrack over the weekend and talking to one of the guys with the who built the cheater car,
right,
for the Whittington brothers, he then paused and he said, "You know, I used to own your car, my 935," and I said, "You did, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, I bought it in 1984, or would have been mid early 80s, as he described it." He said, I paid $35,000 for it, and I gave it a full rebuild, and I sold it for, I think he said, like $125,000, and I thought I was a genius. Mm. Those were his exact words.
Tough.
Yeah, if you hang around, I guess you're going to deal with that in that business. But he basically paid $35,000 for a $6 million car.
Wow.
It's a weird race car world out there.
Did he point you to the nooks and crannies where the nitrous was hidden?
The nookies and crannies?
Yeah.
He didn't do that one on my car. Yeah. He did it only on the Whittington brothers. A piece of happy news to report. the time travels, the one thing, here's something I don't think. You guys tell me, if you could impart some wisdom to your child or to any young person, the one thing that's toughest to impart is how quickly time moves and how, you know, everybody who picks up a cigarette when they're 17 goes, so what? I'm strong as an ox. I'm 17. You know what I mean? And yeah. You'll be like, one day you're going to be 57. You're still going to be smoking and your lungs are going to look like Swiss cheese. And they go, 57?
What's that?
What's that?
I can't even do the mouth on that.
Yeah. Like, so there's that thing where you kind of, now as you get older, you realize it moves fast. Yeah. And then also that thing where you're here and then you're there. As I was talking to my nephew. And I had a 2-hour conversation with him, and I said, you know, you're 19. You come to work here, you impress Nate, and the next thing you know, you're 25, still young, super young, and you're running this place because you'll be here for 6 years, you'll be 25, and you'll know everything, and you'll be making docs, and you'll be making everything. And I'm telling you, it feels like a long time now, but you blink your eyes and you're going to be in your mid-20s and you could be running an empire here. And he said, all right. And then talked to Nate about a month later and I said, how's he working out? And he said, oh, if he wasn't a family member, I would have shit-canned him for sure like weeks ago. Yeah. Like what, 1,000% would have happily fired him. He's only here because he's a family member. And I was like, oh, great.
Give it to me straight.
Don't sugarcoat it.
Totally punch it.
That's awesome. I guess he got my speech. So that's how the wiring is with humans. Yeah. And there's really nothing you can do about it. The reason... Look, I don't like to talk about myself.
Come on.
Give people what they want.
I struggle.
Play through it.
Please.
All right. I'll take a break from Fred Durst for 1 second. I'll just talk about myself. The only difference between me and all of my loser buddies, who are still basically losers with some varying degrees of
loserdom,
home ownership through security, it's routes that are sort of like, well, my wife's parents died and then we were able to get a place after they passed away. Like, but I don't think you could mistake any of them with what you would call like highly successful people, or there were no breakout successes. The only real difference, you couldn't find it in a school transcript or an IQ test or how much weight you could squat on the hack slide. The only difference is when I was 22, I went, I'm going to be 30 one day and then I'm going to be 40. And I don't want to be doing this when I'm 40. That's the only difference. The only difference is I actually stopped and went, I know it's moving pretty slow right now, and it doesn't feel like you'll, like 30 feels like a million miles away, yeah. And 40 feels like another lifetime. But you're going to be 40, and you're going to be driving around a truck with a few bags of stucco in the back of it, and I don't think that's what you're looking for. Yeah. I want that. And I basically sort of made the announcement to everybody, I was going to start looking toward that number as a meaningful number,
yeah,
versus we're going to the gallery and we're going to get high and play pinball. I just did a little more like, I'm going to start focusing on that number that's out there. And everyone else sort of said, have fun, sucker. Right. We're going to go out and enjoy ourselves. And they're all driving pickup trucks with stucco bags in the back of it today, or slightly better versions of the same thing. But that was really the only difference. It wasn't like, oh, I was, you know, blessed with an insane intellect or had this incredible motor or drive or anything. I just knew when I was 20 or 22, I was just like, you are going to be, I guess, look no further than your dad. You know, at the time, he's 50. He's a loser. Like, do you want to be that? I didn't want to be that. So I just sort of looked at it, and what got me going on the time passing quickly and however it is, I got an email from Kevin Hench. basically explaining that his Tim Allen debut of Last Man Standing with like 8 million viewers was like the highest rated Friday night comedy on TV and the highest rated, you know, debut or the highest comedy in like 8 years on Fox and blah, 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 ratings, ratings, ratings. It's incredible. And
it was really rubbing your face in it.
Yep. And I thought, goddamn good, number one. Number two, I thought, wait a minute, it seemed like it was just like a year ago when when Kevin was just down in the dumps. He's like, I had to call Tim Allen. I had to tell Tim Allen the show was canceled. Tim was practically crying. You know, Tim is like, you don't get too many bites at the apple. You know, he does, obviously, he's the Tool Man, and he has this all this great sitcom success, and then things kind of quiet down for a while, and then there's this resurrection with Last Man Standing, and they're getting good ratings, and they're starting to turn the corner and head towards syndication, and, you know, Tim Allen's going to go out on top, and then they pull the plug on him, and it could be political, who knows, but there were certainly shows that were lower rated that they didn't pull the plug on, but they pull the plug on Last Man Standing, and it's all going away, and they believe in the show, and it has an audience, and it's such a waste, and why would they do this, and such frustration, and then also, where are we going now, as far as, you know, that's not a job that coasts to a stop, that's more of a pull the plug type of situation, and Kevin's got family, and mortgage, and a nut, and everything, and he's scrambling. Then, next thing you know, Roseanne comes out. Roseanne's a big hit. Fox wakes up and goes, hey, she her character voted for Trump. Why don't we get this Tim Allen back on the, you know, let's get him going back on the thing. Then Roseanne sends the tweet out. Now she's been exiled from Hollywood, and Tim Allen is back. This is in a year.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It's very crazy.
It's insane.
Time passes quickly, even in short periods, and fortunes move around fast. And now you got this guy who, in Tim Allen, but in Kevin Hench, who had the plug pulled at ABC, who's now the new prince of Fox.
Ride 9 April, shot down in May.
That's right, like Sinatra would say. So it's just crazy how that works, and that's why it's probably not too good to get too invested either up or down with whatever's going on in the moment. Yes.
Being able to have the gift of foresight and perspective is not something that a lot of, let's just say, 20-year-olds are blessed with. Like you say, 5 years down the road, your life's going to be much different. That's a quarter of your life at that point. You know what I mean? Like nobody.
Yes. I don't know who really has. I mean, I think the Jews have it. Because all the Jews do is talk about the grandparents and how Nana would be disappointed or Papa was alive, you know, like all that. So they get this, you know, if you think about a culture that really sort of looks down the road, like a serious down. I mean, if you're talking about a 3-year-old being a doctor or being an attorney when you're not taller than the attaché case you need for the profession, that's probably good. Like if you think about a culture,
fear and guilt are strong motivators.
If you think about Jewish culture, you think about like a Japanese culture where you're talking about ancestors and elders and down the road, down the road, down the road. That's a successful culture versus grab it now kind of culture.
Enjoy it while you can.
So it is a big thing. No, most people aren't blessed with it. It's something that should be discussed and not in a stupid, you'll be sorry, you know, that kind of way. It should be part of our culture. It should be grafted into the culture.
Take the long view, you know?
It'd be nice.
Look ahead.
It'd just be nice if this started in grade school and worked its way through junior high and high school, and a little less of just sort of, you know, go grab it now kind of thing. It would benefit our culture. And the people, the groups, the cultures that weren't doing well would immediately reap the rewards of this type of thinking.
Well, I imagine what makes it a lot harder for this younger generation. It's a bit of a hot take to say, you know, oh, instant gratification, all the instant gratification these days. But you look around at the famous examples, you know, the Kylie Jenners and the whoever's of the world. But there's there's many teenage millionaires, you know, celebrities on YouTube, influencer, Instagram and YouTube. It's like, oh, if you have, I can see how teens today would think, oh, if I haven't made it by 17, I'm not going to make it. And that's crazy. You know, those are extreme outliers.
Well, I think it's deeper. Yes, and sort of. I think there's a physical part of it, which is the computers and the video games and the what's on TV and watching. Again, I had this thought probably in 2002 when I was shooting a bit with Jimmy and Goldberg, the wrestler, and it was called Hanukkah with Goldberg. I think it was for our Christmas show, but we were celebrating Hanukkah with Goldberg. And we had a house up in the Hollywood Hills, and they just, location scout found a house that's like, hey, it's the house Goldberg would live in. It was just a pretty nice but modest, you know, regular house. And we, you know, you rent it out for the day and you shoot in it. And the family cleared out, and at some point, you know, in between setting up the lighting gaffes or whatever, you find yourself walking around using the bathroom. Sometimes I'm not like opening drawers, but there's a little snoop, like
briefly through a medicine cabinet.
Guy's wife's a pig. Look at the picture on his desk. Or, you know, it's little shots of like, what these people do, or the kids. And at some point, I like poked my head into the kids' room. And just on the shelf in a never-ending queue of DVDs was The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And I just thought, a kid can watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas anytime they want. And I thought about it for a minute. And I said, they could watch it in July. And then I went through all the other possible dates they could watch it that weren't when we had to watch it. When I had to watch it was...
Oh, appointment viewing.
Yeah. Appointment viewing a week before Christmas, you know, ABC, whatever. It's a big deal. The Grinch coming up Tuesday night. You know, oh boy, it's back on. Yep. And I thought, my first thought was good for him. My second thought was, I don't know. I think it's sad. I think he won't enjoy it as much. Mm-hmm. It'll sit on that shelf. He might pop it in and watch your first 10 minutes and then get bored and pop it out again.
It won't be special.
And then I thought, this notion of having everything sort of on demand, just when you want it, where and when you want it all the time, I don't think it's going to bode well. I think the delayed gratification and the waiting and making it special and all that. So it's all the Kardashian stuff. She's a billionaire and she's 19. But it's also the everything all the time when they want it. What we're trying to explain is the exact opposite of that. What we're trying to say is, put that off. Don't, you know, push it down, push it away. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be everything that's good in life requires that thing we're talking about. And all the on-demand stuff is the exact opposite of that. Whether it's the Grubhub bringing the food to your door, or you watching a movie that's still in theaters, like on your 60-inch plasma by just clicking a couple of buttons, it all flies in the face of exercising that muscle. All right, let me tell you quickly about Hims. Easier to keep your hair than to replace the hair you've lost. ForHims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and other wellness supplements for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Once it goes, you can't get it back, people, so let's not let it go. Generic equivalents of name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. It costs you hundreds if you went to a pharmacy. See the website for full details. So go to forhims.com/Adam, forhims.com/Adam, forhims.com/Adam. All right, I got a bunch to talk about. We got blah, blah, blah. We got Gina,
who
tore some ligaments.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I don't eat matzo ball soup very often because it's not very NSNG friendly. And it's a special thing. It's around Jewish holidays. Your mom makes it, whatever. You don't just get matzo ball soup whenever you want.
It's so good.
It's the best. So, and I get loaded up noodles, carrots, chicken, everything awesome.
I'm not that familiar. Yeah. If you don't eat the matzo ball, is it better? Is it NSNG approved?
Yes.
The matzo ball.
If you stay away from the matzo, well, you can't do the noodles and that stuff.
Matzo itself is unleavened bread, so it's matzo meal and chicken fat.
But if you theoretically got rid of the matzo,
you just have chicken broth.
You just have chicken broth, chunks of carrots, and chicken, and whatever.
Perfectly fine. So I said, screw it. Today's matzo ball day. I can't wait for matzo ball day. So I go over to Cantor's. No problem with Cantor's. Cantor's great. Love
Cantor's.
Hold
on. Does matzo ball day exist, or you just announced today's matzo ball day?
I announced it was matzo ball
day. Do you know what today is?
It's matzo ball day! So I
know what tonight is? Deep dish pizza night. Remember this whole delayed gratification thing?
Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to announce whatever your favorite food is and then announce that's the day it is.
Yeah. Happy matzo ball day, everybody.
Oh, you know what? Today's blowjob day again.
Again?
It was just blowjob day.
37 days in a row. Who would have thought of it?
Should we check the calendar. Month?
Google that shit.
Wow.
I'd like to, but I'm giving up.
My jaw hurts.
Go ahead.
So I'm waiting for them to pack up the matzo balls, and they're so nice, so I figure I'm going to go pee real quick. Upstairs. Who has to go upstairs at Cantor's? I didn't know the bathroom was upstairs. No problem.
Never knew that either.
It's upstairs. And it has like a really crazy 70s paint job up in the hallway. Whatever. Pete, no problem. Walking down the stairs, my flip-flops, as I do in life every day. Stairs, flip-flops, that's my life. I don't know what I was thinking about or what partial blindness kicked in, but I missed the last step. So I sort of tumbled down the stairs and landed with my foot turned, like the side of my foot turned up.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something pop.
Mm-mm.
And I haven't ever experienced this amount of pain, foot pain before or muscle pain. I stood up and I said, nope, 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 sat back down. It hurt so bad, and I've never experienced this. My ears started ringing. Both of my ears.
Wow.
I actually kind of couldn't hear what they were saying. And I got really nauseous. And I hobbled over to the counter, and I'm just kind of like sweating and like breathing, and I was like, I'm sorry, I gotta go sit down in the booth. Can somebody?
I'm sorry to do this on matzo ball soup day.
I'm sorry to do this to all of you on matzo ball day, but I gotta pop a squat. Is it possible to bring me like a little thing of ice? So they jumped to it, nice guys, and I'm sitting in the booth. While I'm sitting in the booth trying not to start screaming, because I've never experienced this before, I literally couldn't hear it hurt so bad. I get this little old woman, the hostess or someone, coming over and laying into me on a lecture of why young people need to stop wearing flip-flops.
Ah,
and I said, ma'am, not the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally leave after like 10 minutes and hobble home, and my foot is just three times the size, big purple, black, giant, you know, Easter egg under my foot. I slept on it elevated and iced all night. I got a couple ice packs in the freezer there. I got to go grab and got an x-ray this morning. But they won't tell you anything. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at it and they know. They do this all day. Like, Chris, I'd like to talk to your lady who's in the x-ray business. I'm pretty sure she could diagnose it if she wanted to. But they wouldn't tell me anything.
The tech never tells you anything.
Nothing. And I said, can you at least tell me? The doctor said, well, for an ankle, you got to wrap it right away. But for a foot, you can't wrap it. I was like, well, which one am I? I don't know. Go get an x-ray. So I got an x-ray. I said, well, do I wrap it? Ma'am, we're not authorized to say that. I mean, if you want to wrap it. I'm like, well, I'm not in the medical business.
Have ruined life.
I didn't know what to do. So I wrapped it lightly.
Ooh.
And I have crutches.
Can I say...
it's hard to walk.
Can I say this? There's something quiet and insidious that we don't really fully understand, which is lawyers mixed with horrible people who file all these frivolous lawsuits have taken the humanity out of life.
That's true.
I got off the plane in Chicago with Dennis Prager the other whatever, and I said, we were standing in the waiting by the baggage carousel, and the stewardess who was on the flight walked past us, and she said, you know, Mr. Prager, I recognize you. Your phone charger is on the plane. You forgot your phone chargers left behind. And he said, oh, okay. And she said, I wanted to take it out and like run down the concourse and give it to you, but they won't let
us. She couldn't leave her post.
We won't let us do that.
Right.
No, she left her post. She was walking past us. She was out of there. Mm. They don't let you take other people's property up, meaning
They don't trust you to give it to the rightful owner.
Some, what if somebody left their computer and you took the computer and you stole the computer and they don't want the headache, they don't want the mishigash, as they say over there. They don't want to get sued, the lawyers get involved. So it's just, here's a policy. You watch a guy leaves, you know you have the charger, you could be a human being, you could do the human thing, the hand tech could look at the thing and be a human, but we're not allowed to be humans because the non-human lawyers and the non-human people who are doing all the lawsuits have basically just scrubbed that out of society. Yeah. All the decent stuff that people used to help out with and do, and you need this, and I can handle that for you. Or let me help with
it. Sorry, you left us behind.
Not can't do that anymore.
That's absolutely true. So my neighbor, thank God, one of my best friends came down and her guy's an EMT. So he helped me out and they brought me their crutches because I can't put any weight on this foot. It hurts too bad. And I'd like to give a personal thank you shout out to Vinny Tortorich. I texted him and said, by the way, I might have broke my foot. Anything you want me to do? So he called right away and gave me advice. And of course, everything is rice. Rest. Ice, compression, elevation, rice.
Yeah, funny. It's his acronym.
No, it felt really weird coming from him, but he was very nice and helpful and all that stuff. So I slept sort of barricaded like a baby who's like sleeping on a bed when they're not supposed to, you know, when you put the pillows on each side so they don't roll out, with my leg up all night. I don't want to ever give that signal, that symbol on Facebook Live again. Sorry.
I understand.
And just hitting the Advil until I find out what's going on. I'll probably need a boot.
A boot. It's swollen now.
Yeah, very.
You got it wrapped up tight.
Yeah, I hope I'm supposed to.
I think so.
Yeah.
And you gave it the ice, which I think is good. And then at some point they do the give it hot, give it ice, give it hot, give it ice, like alternate, whatever.
I agree with everything you said about the lawyers and the frivolous lawsuits, but you talk to Garagos, Gina. Every day could be matzo ball soup, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's the thing. That's what I said. In case you guys were worried that people weren't living up to their stereotypes, I fell down the stairs waiting for matzo ball soup at a Jewish deli. And many people were quick to remind me if I really wanted to go for it, full stereotype, I'd sue, which is not in the plan.
Now, what is
a
bigger atrocity to happen at Cantor's? This or the time I brought Mike Chaffee and he ordered pastrami on sourdough?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Can I say something to people in their fucking bread selection? You're not allowed to announce, I like this bread. Mm-hmm. There are certain types of bread that are used for certain applications.
Yes, that was wonderful. Not in that application.
In that application. No. You don't get to go, I like this.
Nope.
It's not like cheese where you go, oh, you're doing an omelet. I want cheddar. I want Munster. I want Swiss. Mm-hmm. That's different.
Right.
Interchangeable. But bread, certain bread is made for certain applications. And if you'd like French toast and you want the raisin cinnamon bread, no. Come on.
Have at it.
Does she know what I'm talking about here? Hold on. Oh, this will be easier and more Jew accessible. If you want French toast and you want to go with rye bread.
Oh, God.
There you go. This is exactly what I'm saying.
Would you put your lox and schmear on wheat bread?
Right.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Is I'm not saying one bread is better than the other. I'm saying if you could picture doing French toast with rye, that would be a goddamn disaster. And it's a disaster to bust out the sourdough. I think he wanted mayonnaise on it, too.
That was my next question.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Of course he did.
I've never felt worse about paying for somebody's food. I don't like it.
You barely finish his leftovers.
I can't believe they even offer mayonnaise at Cantor's.
I think someone had to make a run. Yeah, they broke some glass in the back.
It's a Trader Joe's next door.
Yeah, I just remember that. I can't remember if you were there, Brian.
I think
Mike Lynch was there. Yep. I just remember going like, come on.
I was there. It was the first time I ever really became afraid of sharing a meal with you.
Well, look.
First,
you need to know the difference between right and wrong.
You know, you don't go to a Jewish deli, and I don't know what you ordered, Dawson. You probably
pastrami on rye.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, everything's good. Everything's good. I don't know. I don't know what Mike. What is that? Whose name
Lynch.
Is it? Well, not Lynch.
August.
Chaffee.
Oh,
they're trying to get some other Mike.
No, Mike Chaffee. I guess he's. I don't know where he's from.
Has Mike Cioffi ever met a Jew? I don't think so.
I think he's an Italian last name.
Probably not. But either way, there's certain breads. They're for certain applications. Yeah. There are other breads that you can do as toast with your meal and knock yourself out in the variety department there. But let's not monkey around when it comes to a pastrami sandwich because there's nothing better. All right, let me tell you, Reuben,
the way to go.
Let me tell you about, that's nice too. Let me tell you about Casserole Edge. Now I want some of this food. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your Casserole Challenge, with your questions for Casserole Challenge brought to you by Casserole Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance three times stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oil. We got a question, Max Pata.
Yep, at Prippy on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Casserole Challenge, do you ever drive your other street cars like your Lamborghinis, Aston Martins, etc.?
A little bit. Here and there, sometimes to a car show or something. We did the Father's Day Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive thing.
And you and your dad.
I drove. I don't know if my dad knows if I have a car or not. I drove over there. I think I threw Sonny in the boot, and we took a ride in a Lamborghini GT. Or 350 GT, which is a two-seater and does have a little bench in the back, and drove it out to there and had a nice time. It's kind of nerve-wracking in L.A. because half the accidents, I think, in L.A. are hit and run. It's like 50% because so many illegals and so many people don't have insurance and so many people don't want to stick around and talk to the cops. So we have a sort of an insane world where there's a whole bunch of people that don't have driver's licenses or insurance that are forced to drive. And I have thoughts about that. But took the Aston Martin out to the Father's Day special and enjoyed it. And you really do realize, like, those old cars are old cars. They're so much different than today's cars.
Well, say your car's sitting for someone, they always go, oh, can you just drive around the block just to keep everything running?
Yeah, there's that. And you put them on trickle chargers so the battery stays kind of tuned up, and you start them up every once in a while and blow a little carbon out. But if you got a question, you can hit us at Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Casserole Challenge. All right, so Gina, you'll keep us posted.
Yeah.
We'll learn more.
Yeah, I hope I get a boot. I think that'll be more comfortable. These crutches, I am in terrible physical shape.
I always see people put like sponges or some sort of
washcloths.
Washcloth or something on the sponges. Apparently they dig
it. Yeah,
I'm
trying to engage my core. A lot of nice people opening doors. That's very nice.
Dylan had a bit of a run-in with his neighbors, and I found it to be a very interesting story, but a very of the times. I believe we are basically creating a lot of little monsters out there, little self-entitled monsters. And there's going to be a lot more of these types of run-ins that Dylan is going to describe. Dylan, let's set the table. You live in a six-unit apartment building.
Yeah, it's very charming, mid-city Los Angeles.
And it's got that sort of outdoor hallway with the railing on one side and, like, the doors on the other?
Yeah, there's a balcony up top. It's, like, Spanish style. It's open. And then there's three apartments off of the balcony.
So when I lived in Santa Monica, when I famously chased a guy down the street with the purse snatcher and whatever, that was the kind of place. Yeah. You'd walk up the stairs, and then you'd walk to your unit and walk past a couple other units sometimes.
It's very common in L.A. I lived a kind of place like that, too.
Yes, very, very common in L.A. Always funny when they give it a title. Vista del Lago or something. It's like a piece of shit off the side of the freeway is what it should be called. Right. But they give it some Grand Tahitian or something. But it's the middle of Van Nuys and it's so sad. Yep. I find it sadder when they have that.
It's especially when it's named, like, it's kind of like named after the street, like Figaro Estates.
Estates.
Even better, on Victory.
How many estates have shopping carts with three wheels in the back and raccoons fucking in them? But I'm actually getting more depressed when you take that hard euphemistic swing for the title, but does your building have a euphemistic name?
Unfortunately not, but that would be fun if it did. No, all right. just
so you're
sixplex,
Casa Wilshire.
You, are living in the sixplex over there,
yeah.
And now what?
So, quite a bit of crime lately.
Mm-hmm.
Car has been broken into twice.
Yeah.
Also, the other night, this crazy guy came into the apartment complex and just started jingling everybody's doors just to see which ones were unlocked.
Comforting.
So
he's checking for you.
Yeah.
Sir, your door's unlocked.
So
yeah, there's going to be more and more of this going on, by the way. But
a couple people got rings installed.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife got a ring camera put in.
The doorbell camera.
Yeah.
My wife.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm really sorry.
No, carry on.
So we got this thing the other night. The guy comes up to it, sees it, kind of moseys away and pretends like he's not there to jingle our doorknob. So it prevented that. But anyways,
it did.
We get a letter from our lovely neighbors across the way. It's like it's an opus. I mean, it's a lot of words talking about the violation of their privacy, the danger of hacking into the Ring camera, and creating a 24/7 live stream of their apartment.
Of their door?
Of their apartment door.
I was going
to
say.
What do they have to hide?
Now, how does their apartment, your door faces which way? Their door faces the same way or perpendicular?
So you walk up the steps. Our door is 15 feet to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Their apartment is in this little alcove about 5 feet to the left, right across from another door. So there's two apartments over there and our units to the right.
So you're a good distance from their door.
Yeah, we All are. Right. We're about 20 feet away. And I went over there last night to have a civil discussion with them. And it didn't go over that great.
Well, it can't. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some sort of fantasy. It's sort of like, I'm going to negotiate with a terrorist. You know what I mean? If
See
you think it's a
ways.
Good idea to send this manifesto to your neighbor because they put a popular item to try to stop crime and could possibly benefit them in some way that maybe your ring caught something on somebody else's thing or something
it's
like that.
Value.
If they're going to send you 8 pages of why that's wrong, do not be prepared to not deal with sane people when they answer the door.
Right.
Yeah.
This will not be a logical conversation.
It's a catch-22 because sane people, if they were regular folks you could talk to, then they wouldn't have sent the letter. But
that's a solid point.
Yes.
I should have known what I was getting
I know,
into.
But we all do the same thing, which is like, I just got this insane letter from this couple who's down the hall. I shall then go explain to them why this doesn't work. It's like talking to a Jehovah's Witness or a born-again Christian or something. I work with guys installing closets. They spoke in tongues. I couldn't explain to them why that didn't work or exist. It wouldn't work. It's fate. They know it. You don't have to explain anything to them.
Yeah, well, they didn't budge. I went over there and I said, I completely understand that you value your privacy. We backed the range up way back so that it's not recording when you guys exit your apartment. It only records like 5 feet away from our door.
You could adjust that up to like 20 feet to like 1 foot, whatever.
Right. So that was not good enough. But I said I...
Because that should have solved the problem.
It absolutely should have. But there is the threat of the hacking into it.
They think someone's going to hack into your Wi-Fi and take control of your Ring camera.
When I said my car's been broken into and a crazy guy just came up and jingled all the doors, they said, that's a minor issue. We live off a major street. That's expected to happen. And I said, I don't know if this is a false equivalency, but I think that the threat of somebody hacking into the Ring is also a minor issue, which they scoffed at. I said...
What possible... Okay. This is an insane person.
I said, I know that you're...
These are insane people.
Yes. I said, I know you value your privacy, but we're not taking the Ring down. She said, our privacy is all we have.
Well...
That might be true.
And four, and four
no,
cats.
I pointed to their one cat, and I said, that's not true. You have Zora.
Does she have a cat?
Yeah.
I knew it.
I have cats in it.
I
was making a joke, by the way, about them and the lesbian couple and their cats, but I knew they had to have it. No, wait a minute.
That's
now, a couple things. I've said to you guys 1 million times, prepare. How old were these people?
Probably mid-20s.
Good. Oh, enjoy the rest of your miserable lives with what you've created, all you young assholes out there with this crazy self-esteem, which is the self-esteem movement. It's not the self-esteem movement. It's the narcissist movement. Everyone's a fucking narcissist. Everything's about them. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm saying is, if somebody was doing something, putting on the Ring doorbell or adding a knocker or a peephole or painting their door, it has nothing to do with you. But if you're a narcissist, everything has to do with you all the time. Yeah. Yeah. I also argue this when it comes to privacy. When you enter the agreement to rent in an apartment with multiple units, you've basically signed away your right to complete privacy.
Yeah.
Yes, what goes on in the bedroom goes on in the bedroom. But the fact that you're living in a giant shoebox with a bunch of smaller matchboxes inside of it, where the miserable poor people live, you have given away, not you, no, not you.
Everybody else.
Everyone else, the other five losers.
Thanks for clarifying.
The real winner is the cat, because the cat thinks he's living in a castle. Zara. The ceilings are 80 foot tall, I tell you. The sofa goes on for days.
She's very happy.
Of course the cat's happy. Yeah. Everyone else is miserable.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying it's the equivalent to taking public transportation and demanding privacy.
If put your phones away.
If you're going to get on that fucking bus, you're on with other people. Now, you can't have anyone squeeze a titty or put a hand under your seat and have you sit on it. Oh, by the way, funnest thing from junior high. That's gone. That's off the menu. Put the hand down and the chick or dude is going to sit on the hand.
On that. Yeah.
That's off the menu.
Thumb up.
You want to get yourself a Maybach and tint the windows, by all means. You have privacy. Right. You are giving up your right to privacy, I say, or to this level.
Right.
The Secret Service level of privacy when you live in an apartment in general. And this doesn't meet that threshold for privacy.
Is this person, first of all, I'm shocked to hear they're in their 20s. I thought this would have been some like 50 plus person who didn't understand how hacking worked and the risk.
They're just being surveilled.
Yeah.
No, but
I knew it. I yelled at Max Apata, enjoy the shit box you guys all created.
It's the opposite. They have too intimate a knowledge of the dangers of hacking into a Ring
presumably camera. This person has probably a Facebook account, maybe an Instagram account.
Well, wait, it's a couple.
One or two of these people. That is far more revealing than anything a Ring camera could pick up from the outside. It's not like you're putting it under their door.
Like I said, a minor threat.
So has a great payoff, though.
Yeah.
Now, the payoff is never, you make some valid points.
I'll reconsider my position.
We've already reconsidered our position, and I'd like to reimburse you for your time. It's never that,
no,
because it's them and they're fucking narcissists.
Yeah, so I said, you know, it's a little pickle we're in because I'm not taking the Ring camera down. It's not going to get hacked. I'm sorry if you're concerned. I don't know what to do. She said, I'm talking to a lawyer. Because this violates, I think she said, California wiretap laws. So
that's insane.
I said, great. Talk to the lawyer. Let's clear this up. If you give me an official piece of paper, I'll take it down. This morning, I left my apartment at the same time as these two lovely neighbors who are wearing masks.
Oh, no, they're not. No, they're not.
One of them is in a full-blown Dalmatian Halloween mask, and the other has handkerchiefs wrapped around her head. They get downstairs to the street, remove all of the masks, and then go on with their day.
So they're insane people.
But there is, to me, there's a kind of a silver lining.
Do they do this and they go into every business? Do they do this and they go into Ralph's?
Yeah, that's what my wife is asking. There's lots of cameras everywhere.
The whole part about all this stuff is you try to graft logic on to this, it never sticks. It never sticks. This is our newer. They're living their truth. They're not living the truth or your
ATM.
Truth. They're living their truth. You get it? Look, if they feel that way,
intersection too fast.
It's seeping in.
If they feel that way, they can't be wrong because that's the way they feel, and they're living their truth. Now we're gonna have a hard time holding a society together where everyone in every unit is living their truth. But the silver lining to me, well, there's two silver linings. One is these two found each other.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't think,
what are the odds?
Like, I wouldn't think I could set either one of these up with another gal.
No. That's profile. Yeah. Interest. Protecting my privacy at all costs.
Right.
Likeness.
Dalmatian mask. And you don't have to watch their cat anymore.
No.
Because I'm guessing there's a list and your name just got scratched off it.
Yeah, I think so, Ace. I don't know if I'm going to be invited back. And I am okay with that.
Okay.
I've described the Streisand effect, right? Where, like, Barbara Streisand freaked out because there was a picture of her house from an aerial photography that, like, 16 people had viewed, and she filed a lawsuit, and that caused, like, hundreds of thousands of people to be like, oh, Barbara Streisand's house. It's like, you cause unintentional. I had no interest in your neighbors on your ring cam before, and now I kind of want to hack his ring cam. I kind of want to see these people in the masks.
Well, let's see if Pluto can get together and get a channel, Lesbian Neighbors with the... With the cat in the mask channel, and we can just monitor it 24/7.
If they're in masks, then you can totally post the video online, and they can't get mad.
That's a very good point.
I'm gonna hold off just in case.
How important is show content? You want to
take that chance? Go ahead, Dylan. That's a pretty big risk. Jesus, goddamn Christ!
Wow.
I'm gonna say something no one's ever said. I'm glad Dylan was at the studio just now.
Me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is. We're there, man.
Wow.
The chickens have come home to roost.
Wow.
All right.
Dark days.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. This is this is not the generation that won World War II for us anymore. Those days are done. All right. We'll bring our guest in. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Well, this is what they're talking about, identity protection. You've probably heard by now that hackers exploited a security...
a ring camera.
Dylan's ring
of a
camera.
A young man in Los Angeles.
Security vulnerability at Facebook, potentially exposing personal information to nearly 50 million, from nearly 50 million accounts with your personal info. This is a real threat, not the doorbell. So, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, and buy property. Let's not get that credit screwed up, people. So many threats in today's connected world, and it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you cannot easily see and fix on your own. It is LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft and monitor transactions in all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
All right.
How many other apartments with Ring doorbells must they walk by during the day? At least like two or three others in
Brian,
that complex.
Brian, you're going to have to let this go. They're insane.
I'm grinding gears here. I can't.
If anything, they should kick in for the Ring subscription because their house is being helped too.
Yeah, again, the part where we're trying to apply logic to things is we're just about done with that as a society.
I'm flailing.
And poor Dylan. And then you have this horrible... I've had so many neighbors that do this, which is they lay down some weird... intensity and some weird bad vibes and some weird whatevers, and then for the remainder of the time they're at that building or you're at that building or they live across the street or you live over here, it's a lot of weirdness of like open the front door, they're walking out, then you walk back into your room. I mean, Maxipata has a weird neighbor, we've all had this. You walk down to your car, you see them pulling up, you pretend not to look, like, thank you for making me do this. Like, really, this is what you want. You want your neighbor opening their door, seeing that you're opening your door and quietly closing your door and waiting till they hear their fucking car start probably a Subaru, and take off down the street, and then they'll walk out. Is that the relationship you want with the surrounding people? But you've created it.
Mission accomplished.
You've created it. I don't get what's in it for those people. And again, there is nothing in it for them, but... we've all had it, and there's so much of it.
Yep. And that's when you go home, that's the one place where you can finally relax. And when you go home and there's that static in the air, fuck that. That's the worst.
Is that always that thing where when you're coming up the stairs, you're always sort of peeking around or looking to see if their car's in the carport or like whatever? Yep. And And it's unfair to you because you're a fucking human being with goddamn nerve endings. So you react like it's weird to you to have this weird interaction with somebody or this negativity. Yeah. And now you have to pass them on this short catwalk. And it's like, uh-huh. They don't have nerve endings. Mm. They're not human beings. They kind of get off on this stuff. So they're actually enjoying what would be painful if they were wired like a fucking human. Oh, God. I just want to create an island and put all of them on it. All the fucking neighbors I've had, all the assholes that lived around me, the old man, the fucking lawyer piece of shit who was going to sue me down the hill because he had fucking dirt in his pool, blah, blah, blah. I just want to put them all on one island so they could enjoy each other. Just the fucking majesty of living next to these fucking horrible people. And they don't really get put in their place. No, but people just, because you have normal people like Dylan who are like, I understand your thing, but we're going to do this. And it's like, all right. Anyway, drives me nuts. And also, it takes one of them to ruin just a whole apartment building or a cul-de-sac or whatever it is. It's weird how prevalent it is.
Yeah.
That's the insane part.
Do you think
it's insane?
Would it be less prevalent if we weren't in this, fresh hell that we call Los Angeles? Or is this just the New World Order?
I hope it's because we're here. Because I literally have not lived in a home in Los Angeles and the outskirts of Los Angeles where I've not had what I would consider a very unreasonable, nutty neighbor.
Yeah. Yep. We all
who had insane requests and borderline criminal. If you're the attorney who wants me to give him $10,000, otherwise he's going to file papers and blah blah blah. Just insanity. Calling health services and Department of Building and Safety and like claiming unsanitary living conditions in my house. Like total and utter insanity.
Yep, and not willing to compromise.
All right,
there's no meeting in the middle.
I'm going to put myself in a better mood. I will tell you guys, going to be at the San Mateo County Event Center coming up October 14th, Real Estate Wealth Expo. Mm-hmm. You can come say hi to me and Mike Gaugas. He'll be eating and staying around somewhere in there. Los Angeles, LA Convention Center, October 20th, Politicon. We're going to talk about No Safe Spaces. And Clay Aiken, personal hero, Clay Aiken, will be there with me. As you know, it came down to Arsenio and Clay Aiken in Celebrity Apprentice. Clay Aiken kicked Arsenio's ass in the final task, and they declared Arsenio the winner.
Have you seen Clay Aiken since then?
I do not think I've seen him since then.
You have. He's been on the pod once.
Oh, he's on the pod.
Like right after Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, must have been right after.
Same time frame.
I was... I've not been more impressed by a person in a long time, and whatever the task was, I would say let Clay Aiken handle it. All right. Let's see. Also, you can go to Chassis and check out the new channel on Pluto TV 501, see all the car stuff, and check out the Adam Carolla Goes Racing, new vids out, and you can check that out at MotorTrend.com as well. Go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out all this stuff. Lisa Dapolito. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Lisa Dapolito. She's made a documentary about Gilda Radner, someone everyone loves. And
long overdue documentary.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Long overdue, and I didn't see it because I got a little screw up in the how it was sent to me and how it was labeled and so on and so forth. But
you'll really enjoy it.
You two saw it. I love it, Doc. SNL, Gilda. How can you go wrong? Also, I guess should we feel old? How old was she when she died now?
43.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it's so weird 42? when at the time, I don't have to tell you guys anything you don't know, but I mean, people die and you go, well, they were old, you know, because you were 26
right.
or something.
And
now you realize you're older than they were when they died. All right. So we'll talk about that new doc, Love Gilda. We'll take a quick break, do some good sports right after this.
Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you once you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes, it's that time.
Every day.
Yep, every
Podcast
day.
Podcast One and
it's
Apple.
It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, sports, we are in the sweet spot now. College football, pro football, the puck is soon to drop. NBA right behind that one. Make sure you're listening to the Dave Damashek football program wherever you find your favorite podcast, because we kibitz not just about football, but the game of life. Ace, we left off yesterday. You were going to share a game of life tale that sounds like it's untowards, and it involves Buffalo Wings.
You tell me. Yeah, again, I don't. Okay. I'll simply explain what happened. I was doing a show in San Diego a few years ago. My ex-assistant, Jay Miller, who I love, great
He's
guy.
The best. He's a great the best.
Guy. He's a great guy. And we're sitting in the green room, and we're waiting to go on. And, you know, doing two shows that night, blah, blah, blah. And he comes walking back. Now, he'd been my assistant for 5 years. And Matt. You've been my assistant for a number of years.
Yes, sir.
How many times have I ordered chicken wings, like Buffalo-style chicken wings?
Absolutely never. And in fact, anytime the word chicken is brought up around here, it is always under a negative connotation.
But I'm happy to go Zanku chicken, right?
True.
And we might get some kebabs or something like that. But have I ever ordered chicken wings, or even expressed my interest or love of wings?
In 8+ years, I have never once heard it. Not
right.
Once.
So Jay Miller, who's an exceptional individual, shows up backstage in the green room, and he said, "I know how much you love Buffalo chicken wings, so I picked you up some because there's a great place around the corner, and here you go." And I said, "Thank you very much. But where did you get this information? We've done, when you have an assistant, there's a lot of lunch run conversations. You're around each other at noon every single day. Inevitably, there's what are you doing? What are we doing? I'm going out for lunch or whatever. I never had a wing-related conversation with the boy. And furthermore, he got me breaded buffalo chicken wings.
Yeah, that's not even the good kind.
And we went, now we're going to the next level. And for the people around, please throw yourself off of something high and land on something sharp if you're this person. Where I then explain, I'm not a big fan of buffalo chicken wings. I'm okay with them. I like the drumette style ones the best, I guess.
Let me guess. You were wrong. Jay knew better about what you like than you.
There was this exchange.
You love wings.
He said, I said, but furthermore, they don't normally bread them, do they? Then there's this guy. Oh, you can get them that way. Of course you can get them that way. There's a
apparently
baker,
so.
There's a baker's fucking dozen of them in front of me. And Jay, I didn't proclaim you a mad scientist fresh from the lab. You know, yes, of course you can get them that way. That's what he just did. And then you go to the person who's always standing off, sort of confounding your point, you know, where you go, no, yes, you can get them that way, but traditionally they're not served that way. I've had them that way before. Okay. Is there anyone else's point you'd like to shit on? Can you? Yes, but they're not normally served this way. Well, it depends where you go. Now you think you're taking crazy pills because, no, I don't see them this way. I certainly don't like them breaded, but I've been to a million Super Bowl parties, and when someone busted out the wings, they never were breaded. Now you have to get into this conversation. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right. Yes. Right. You have to, it has to become a legal document that you issue verbally with all exceptions labeled, not in Hawaii, but, that kind of thing.
Right. The contiguous United States. I said, but it isn't traditionally how they're served. And then I got the, well, you can go to places and you get them this way or you can get them that way. And I'm like, all right, now I'm taking crazy pills. I'm saying in commercials where they have wings, they don't. So either way, that was Jay, who I love, getting me breaded chicken wings.
Because you love them. Even though you've never had any conversation about them, love or hate, probably.
Yes.
What's the weird assumption about with Jay? Adam Carolla, yeah, of course, he's a wing guy.
I don't know.
I guess that would be something. That's a fun game.
Are you guys with me that the breaded is just,
yes,
now we're going into a different category of food here?
Wings,
this
right.
is like fried chicken with hot sauce
now
on it.
You're now eating hot chicken like you would get in Nashville where they put hot sauce on bread,
right.
on fried chicken.
And also
chicken.
You're
That's
going like,
that.
How could I possibly get fatter during this endeavor? It's like, I know, boss, we could bread it.
That's a fun game. Assumptions about Adam Carolla. You just have to take a subject and guess, does Ace like this or not, based on what you know about him. And I must say, to Jay's, I mean, I think it's a weird thing, like, well, because I know you love them, Ace. I'm guessing you like them based on what I know about you. It would seem like Adam Carolla would like hot wings.
It would seem, unless you were my assistant for 5 years and we
I'm not defending the behavior. Line me up with Jay.
I love Jay, and I love that he did this because I would always show up empty-handed to somebody's green room. I wouldn't be thoughtful enough to get hot wings. It was just strange to me that he presented them as,
weird. And yet, I love them.
Now, here's my problem. I run into this problem all the time. You tell me. I want honest input as long as you agree. If you disagree. I have this thing all the time where Olga will do the cooking around the house. And then she'll present me with the meal. And she'll go, what do you think? And then I'll go, it's good. It's a little salty. It tastes a little salty. And my wife will say, oh, God, leave her alone. And I will say, no, I'm not criticizing, but it's a good recipe. And if you make it again, put a little less salt in it. I think it'll be better. And my wife will go like, oh, he's always complaining about something. And I'll go, look, I don't want her to make the same meal the same way again. I'd like her to have less salt in it because it would taste better. So this feels like a criticism, but it's really just a way to make this better for the next time it happens. And I'm not prefacing it with, hey, dumb bitch, it's too salty.
This isn't somebody who's visiting your home and saying, oh, I know you're having a bring some food over kind of thing.
Yes.
And this is a casserole. This is the one time I'm going to eat it. Oh, delicious.
Right.
The standard is higher. You can see this dish again. You want it to be as tasty as it could be. And it sounds to me, if I may say, like Lynette somewhere rattling around in her brain wants to be the better liked.
Mm.
I mean, what would be the reason? Why scold you otherwise? Why scold you in front of Olga?
I think that plan is, another complaint. But I'm not actually complaining. I'm actually...
Adam, he complains.
What I'm saying is like, I come from a world where everyone gets coached up. I got coached up. I played football. Everyone coached me up. I don't look at it as critique. I look at it as, all right, this guy is taking time. He'd like a better product.
You didn't spit it out like, too much salt. Never again. maybe that would get more action.
All right. But we love where Jay's heart's at. I just found
I love wings, but my personal issue is the older I get now, it's the same thing with pizza. I really am getting to a point. My OCD is so weird now. I like food that I eat with my hands now. I can't wash the smell of it out. If I eat wings or pizza, I can wash and wash and it won't. I'm Lady Macbeth, but instead of with blood, it's with food grease. I can't. It's still there. Go away. I'm eating stuff with fork and knife now.
Edgar Allan Poe and the Telltale Heart.
It is like that.
You just can't stop hearing the tap, tap, tapping.
It's literally like that.
It is literally the Telltale Heart. All right, let me tell you a tale about betonline.ag. NFL, college football, biggest UFC fight of the year. It's all coming up. It's a sports fan's dream. Don't wait any longer. Let's get going. Head over to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code podcast1. Receive 50% worth of sign-up bonus today. That's podcast1. Receive 50% sign-up bonus. Ah, the biggest fight of the year. Conor McGregor. Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Khabib Nurmagomedov!
Yeah, something like that.
Cruising Glaja.
October 6th, Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. I think Khabib is a favorite. Is Khabib a favorite in this fight? This is what a... I think he's favorite.
He's my favorite.
He is your favorite. He's 26-0. This is going to be a hell of a fight. Anyway, you want to miss out on all the action. McGregor, NFL, college football, betonline.ag, our exclusive partners, Podcast One Sports Net. All right, check.
Very nice. All right, we'll talk to you on the next episode of Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports Podcast One Sports. Good Sports.